You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Well, hey, good morning. We're continuing our series on Chosen, since over the next few weeks we're looking at specific scenes from some of the episodes, and so today we're going to be in Season 2, Episode 5, and we're going to be thinking about spiritual warfare. How many of you have seen horror movies? A couple of you. All right. Hey, listen, any of y'all, don't raise your hand because we don't want to, like, call you out, but The Exorcist, y'all have heard of that? All right, so The Exorcist, the book, came out in 1971. Some of you read it when it was originally published, which means you're getting up there, all right? In 1973, there was a movie. There's an interesting thing about The Exorcist is when it was originally published, it is based off a true story. When it was originally published, it wasn't selling. As a matter of fact, bookstores were sending it back en masse to the publisher because it was just sitting on the shelves. No one was purchasing it. It was just kind of hanging out there and there, whatever. And so the guy that wrote the book was actually a well-known playwright. He'd been doing stuff in Hollywood and all that. And he had heard about the story as a young man and had pursued the story. And so he was kind of surprised that it wasn't selling well. Well, one day, he and his publicist got a call from this talk show called The Dick Cavett Show. Any of y'all ever heard of that? Yeah, you're definitely aging yourself. All right. Anyway, there was a Dick Cavett Show, and he was told, hey, listen, you might be a guest on the show. Like, you're like backup to the backup to the backup, okay? And so they're like, it's not going to happen, probably. So he and his publicist were actually in New York having dinner. And while they were at dinner, he got a call and said, hey, can you still make it? Are you still available? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, hey, listen, everyone that was supposed to show up didn't show up except one, the main guest, and the main guest showed up inebriated. And so inebriated, they wouldn't have been a good guest that day. So what would have been, at best, like a minute to 2 minutes, the author of The Exorcist had over 45 minutes of national TV time with Dick Cavett to talk about the story of The Exorcist, and that precipitated, for the next 20-plus weeks, that book was a bestseller and then obviously became the movie that some of you may or may have not seen. It came out, the book and the movie came out before I was born, and so my parents never let me watch it. And now as an adult, it's a movie that, hey, it's on my list, but probably will never get watched, I'll be honest with you. There's a couple of movies like that. Actually, I was also a projectionist when I was in high school, early college, was one of my jobs, and I would have moments like this. Whenever I was thinking about, hey, I'm going to watch The Exorcist, there were certain movies that came out about the time when I was in late high school, early college, that were kind of horror movies as well, like Bram Stoker's Dracula and some different things like that. And I was the guy that would, as a head projectionist, I would piece those movies together. And kids, if you know, they download them now. Back in the day, there was actual film. And on that film, we'd have to splice it together. Y'all know what I'm talking about, some of you? Like, yeah, you're aging yourself, all right? And actually, JFK was so big, we had to use two tables to do that. We had actually offered an intermission. But Bram Stoker was one of those movies that I would put together, and there was something about it, you guys. That was one of the first moments that I experienced a heaviness, a spiritual darkness, and a heaviness. We were a major fourplex at the time, and so that was at the end of the hallway for me of the movies. And so I would walk down my long hallway, and I would start that movie, and I had to leave because of the heaviness. And I know this morning, as I was thinking about prepping for this message, I was discombobulated all week. And then yesterday, as I was kind of processing, like, why is it taking me so long to kind of put all this stuff together for today? And it's the spiritual warfare aspect of what we're talking about. And I'll tell you, I've had two for sure experiences where I know that I know that I know that I was in the midst of spiritual warfare, where I saw someone and was involved with both situations I walked in on, but friends and mentors of mine were handling situations and people were possessed. And some of the things that maybe were reenacted in Exorcists and other things were taking place. And it is just a surreal thing. It's a moment where you realize you're not in control. that there's something otherworldly other than you, and something's happening. And the only thing that we could do, and the only thing that I knew that I had remembered reading and somewhere somehow, is that the power of the blood of Jesus, there's nothing more powerful than that. And so just praying that over and seeing the different things. And we're going to talk about spiritual warfare today. Okay, you can already see my mind is discombobulated. The story of the Exodus is actually a real story. It is by Ron Hunkeler. And Ron Hunkeler, they didn't announce who he was until after he died. People knew who he was, but they hid his existence. Like, they called him Ronald Doe or Ronald Mannheim. But after he passed away, I think 2008, somewhere in there, he became announced to who he was. And you can imagine this young man between the ages of 13 and 14. He had an aunt that introduced him to channeling spirits through using the Ouija board. And in that moment, after he began to practice that and kind of get in tune with that, his aunt moved away and his aunt died. And immediately following her death, things began to happen to him and around him in his house, but also at school and other places. So there's multiple things that took place over about a four-month period where he was just craziness, all right? You can Wikipedia and kind of see some of those different things if you want to catch a little bit about. But it made for a scary book and for a scary movie. Interestingly enough, two of the priests that were involved in the exorcist part of that, the exorcisms and stuff, over the four-month period, they went to the movie and they said does not hold a candle to the real thing, that the real thing was even much scarier than the movie and the book. And here's what I want you to get is this. Spiritual warfare is something we don't really grasp, but it is real. It's in Scripture. If Scripture is true and God puts it in His Word, then it is true. We don't have to grasp it. That's part of the fact that He's God and we're not. And there's things that happen, and there are things that happen in a world outside of us that we can't grasp, because honestly, we wouldn't know what to do with it if we could grasp it. But God is active, and ultimately, if we understand, if all of God's Word is true, then also the end of God's Word is true, which just means He's the victor and the winner in the end anyway. But there is a battle in the midst of it that's happening now, and we're a part of it, even if we're not fully cognizant of it. So what is a demon? A demon is a created being, okay, that once was an angel that chose to follow Satan. Satan was a higher angel, and he chose to rebel against God. As a matter of fact, the name Satan literally means adversary. So Satan, the chief adversary, and a third of the angels of heaven chose to rebel against God and are actively now adversaries to the plan and agenda of God Himself. And there is a war going on that's been happening. Again, Satan is a created being. Oh, push pause on that, sorry. Satan is a created being, so he can't be everywhere at all times. Okay, so hear me. Satan is a created being, and he has his minions, demons that are moving and going and doing his bidding, but they are created beings as well, and so they are limited by time and space and can only do what they do by permission of God and the authority that He's given them. As the Scripture tells us that Satan is the prince of the air, the prince of now, but the King of Kings is ultimately in control. And so there's activities that are going on and that are happening. So this scene that we're about to see is from Season 2, Episode 5, and it's a guy who's been demon-possessed, and there's several different instances throughout this episode, but there's one clip that I want to show you. And in this clip, he kind of jumps into Jesus' camp. They've been camping outside of Sychar, and he jumps in the middle of that, and there's really powerful music. You know, I have a sermon series, if you could live life according to background music, how much you would know when you're in love or when you're in trouble and all that stuff, you know. This is one of those things where the music definitely tells you, hey, this is an ominous moment, all right? And so this guy, he's harming himself, which is common. And then also you'll notice that Mary Magdalene, who's in the camp, who has been healed out of demon possession as well, this still impacts her. So here's another thing you need to know that's true, is that Scripture tells us that when you say yes to Jesus, you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit, which is God. And so that in that moment, whenever you say yes to Jesus and this God through the Holy Spirit inhabits you, you become a temple of the Holy God. And so you are a holy being. And so because you're a holy being, you therefore then cannot be inhabited by unholy evil things like demons. You can be influenced, but not inhabited. Here's another thing to know is that, I don't even remember now. Golly, sorry. All right, so you can be, you cannot be inhabited, you can be influenced. Yes, here we go. And the other thing that you need to know is, listen, most of us are not important enough for Satan to deal with us. Let's be honest. We got enough of our own depravity in our own deal. James 1 tells us that most of the struggles and temptations that we have actually come from us, not from outside. And so that if you've said yes to Jesus, God himself is inhabited in you in the Holy Spirit. You cannot be inhabited. You can be influenced. However, our biggest struggle for most of us is we're not famous enough, honestly. I mean, Satan's working overtime on pastors and all these other famous people because if he can chop them down, the ripple effect is much bigger, all right? And then we're struggling with our own stuff, all right? You know, all of you already know, like, here's my depravity. Don't let anybody open the closet to my heart because it's there, all right? It oozes out. So here we are, season 2. Episode 5, this guy is demon-possessed. He shows up at Jesus' camp. One of the things that you'll hear is he'll say, hey, you smell different. And so there's this aroma of the holiness of God. All right, so here we go.
What's wrong? Ben? What's that sound?
Did you... that. Erin Rama. Rama. Rama.
What's that sound?
Are you okay? Of you, but worse, putrid. Don't come any closer.
Stop.
Mary. Lilith.
I don't answer to that name.
They told me about you.
Did they?
All 7 of them.
My name is Mary. It was always Mary.
Oh, the stories they had. You're scared.
What's your name?
Belial, spawn of Oriak's 5th knight of the Legion.
What's your real name?
It's on all of you!
What did your mother call you?
Can't say.
Please say your name.
Let's get up, Caleb.
it.
Cool, huh? A couple of things to think about from that are true. One is, if Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all present at creation, they have a power and authority over all of creation. Right, so we see that in Jesus' ministry when he tells the storms to stop. The reason is because he's the creator. Also, if angels and demons are created things, he has power and authority over them. So as he walks in and sees this, he exerts his power and authority in that moment as he can and as he wants to. And I think the other piece of that is also, isn't it interesting that Mary, who had been inhabited by demons, says, "What's your real name?" Right, so get to the identity of who they truly are. And so whenever he's healed, what is the first thing that Jesus asks him? Because surely Jesus knows his name. But he wants him to say his name so that he can begin to identify who he is and remind himself of that he is a child of God, and now he's a child of God in Christ. Now the other piece of this is you see a little hint of Mary Magdalene still struggling with, right? She's not inhabited by, but her past and her identity rises up, and so she goes back because she's struggling with her worth and her value on, do I deserve to be in the presence of Jesus and to have a relationship with him and be in camp with him? And I think this is a common thing for us as followers of Christ, is there's been moments where we've had that encounter with Jesus, we've said yes to him, and we understand that he's our creator, he's our savior, but we still struggle with the fact of, can we find our true identity and our true self in him? And so we run back to things, or we run back to circumstances or situations that define us. Even though we don't like them, we understand them and know them, because they're in camp with Jesus and they're learning a lot and discovering a lot about him and also themselves. And some of that makes them uncomfortable, and it should for us as well. As we're in our journey with Christ, there's going to be moments where you're tempted to go back to what you know, even though that is death and not life, but you know those comfortable clothes. And so you go back to them instead of staying in the new robe and the new clothes that God has for you. And so we see that even here in Mark chapter 5, there's a similar story where Jesus has been doing ministry on one side of the lake, all right, the Sea of Galilee. He's been doing ministry over there on that side amongst the Jewish people. And then for some reason, he has this appointment and he gets in the boat with the disciples and they go across to the other side, the Gentile side of the Lake of Galilee, and he does shows up there, and this is what happens. So they arrive, Jesus and the disciples, they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes, again, Sea of Galilee. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. Now, for most of us, when we think of tombs, we think of a whole bunch of headstones and all that different stuff. It's more like caves. And so there's this hill, and there have been a whole bunch of caves, and he's hanging out among those caves and may have even been in one of those caves. And this is where they would put the bones. They have boxes, concrete boxes or whatever, and they put the body in there, and they wait for the bones, and then they'll take them out. And so Jesus shows up at a place like that, and this was where that guy is hanging out. The man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, which means people are coming out trying to help him, trying to restrain him, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. So you can see that this is a powerful man. He's out of control. There's rage. There's anger. There's whatever is going on inside of him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. He's hurting himself so he can feel and have know that he's even alive. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. It's interesting that here's this man who's demon-possessed, and he sees Jesus. He runs to meet him, even though they're enemies, technically. He runs to him, and he does what? He bows before him because he recognizes his creator. He recognizes the King of Kings. The demons inside of him recognize the power and authority of Jesus before he even announces himself. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus?" Now listen, this is a demon. Okay, so they believe, they know who Jesus is. They don't believe, but they know who he is. So why are you interfering with me, Jesus? What? The Son of the Most High God. In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, not the man, but the demon inside of him, "My name is Legion. because there's many of us inside of this man. A legion in Roman army times was between 3,000 to 6,000 people. So a legion, because there are many of us, if you just take that 3,000 to 6,000, that means there's a lot of activity going on. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Now, this is interesting because think about this. This legion demon is inhabited this man. He sees Jesus, bows before him. So in other words, they're conscious of what's happening. They're engaging Jesus in a conversation. So even if no one else understood, here's what's happening. Jesus and this demon-possessed man are in a conversation like you and I. And they're conscious of even looking out and seeing, hey, there's where can we go? There's some pigs over there. Put us over there. And so they send us to those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them, which for Jewish people, pigs were unclean, not edible. So again, this is a clue that they're on the other side, right? They're in Gentile country. So Jesus, listen to this, gave them permission. Under his authority. They couldn't even do it if they wanted to. He had to give them permission. Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. In other words, someone's livelihood is now gone. The herdsmen, that it was their livelihood, fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Can you imagine them running? Woo! What just happened? I mean, you're seeing all of this, and then 2,000 plus pigs. Sorry, those of you asleep, I just woke you up. They were running through town, and they're like, man, you got to see what I saw. 2,000 pigs that were just hanging out, snorting it up, got something, and they took off. Bacon tomorrow. People rushed out to see what happened. They're selling a story, and a crowd soon gathered around Jesus. And they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons, and listen, he was sitting there because he would have been naked. So now they show up, and he's fully clothed. And what's the next part? Perfectly sane. Not only did his outside change through his clothing, but his countenance had changed. They saw the transformation. They saw that this man had been changed by his encounter with Jesus. There once was a man possessed. There once was a man who was chained up that they couldn't even hold him down. And now he has an encounter with Jesus, and he's changed. He's clothed, but he's perfectly sane. And then the response was, they were all afraid. Can you imagine? Yeah. You can't understand it. They haven't seen it before. Then those who had seen what had happened told others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. They wanted to see the tricks. But then they realized the power and authority of Jesus. It scared them. Who is this man, and what is his agenda, and what is he about? The spirit world is real. It's true. I don't get it completely. I don't understand it completely. But this is a God's doing his stuff. He's in control. They're created beings. He's giving them the permission to come and to go and to do the things that they do. And as I talked about, the only way most of us are tempted is from the inside. Jesus was tempted and tested. We see the beginning of his ministry. He was baptized, and he was led out by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. How many of y'all would be hungry after that? Some of you got 40 minutes, all right, and you're craving a donut. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, was tempted there by the devil. He was tempted in three ways. He was tempted physically, he was tempted emotionally, and he was tempted spiritually. You and I are tempted physically, emotionally, and spiritually as well. Physically, he was said, hey, once you turn those stones into bread, because you're hungry. And he said, hey, no, Jesus says, and every time that he responded with the word of God. And he said, hey, we're not to eat by the bread alone. And then he was tempted emotionally, and he said, no, hey, I'm not going to respond in that way. And then the final way that he was tempted was the devil said, hey, listen, if you go to the top of the temple and you look out, I will give you power and authority over all those lands. I will make you God of this land. And Jesus says, hey, listen, that's not what my calling is. And so he surrendered to that. And he's three ways that we're tempted is physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Sometimes you say, hey, what are the three greatest things that are draw people into sin is power, money, and sex. And all of those line up together. Jesus won victory over their temptations. So not only did he, in his humanity, show his power and authority over that, but also whenever he died on the cross for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, he showed ultimate victory that we can see at the end of Revelation that we will all have victory over temptation and sin and death. So Jesus is showing us a little bit of who he is, even at the beginning of his ministry. There's two verses that aren't going to show up on the screen that I want to read for you. One is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it says this, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could die, and only by dying could he, Jesus, break the power of the devil who had the power of death." Then Colossians 2:20, "You have died with Christ." So if you said yes to Christ, he's taken residence within inside of you. You've died to yourself with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. In other words, Satan and his demons, the spiritual evil of this world, do not exert power over you that you don't give it. You have the same power that resurrected Christ in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that the struggle for us is, like James 1 tells us, is that us having the appetites of Christ and sitting and dining at the table of God went out over the sitting and dining at the table of self. And that our appetites change the longer we're with Christ, our appetites change from the things of self to the things of God. Matter of fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, there is a war going on. Whether you understand it, whether you get it, you are in the army of Christ. And if you're in the army of Christ, there's an adversary of God that's also an adversary of you. Remember, the very name Satan means adversary. And because of that, we are in a battle. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, he explains it. I'm going to read 10 and 11 to you. And they say this, "A final word then, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not in your strength, not in your power, not in your intelligence, not in your Sunday school lessons, but in his strength and in his mighty power. Therefore then, put on the full armor that God provides for you so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil." Now this word "stand firm" is battle language that you have on your shoes, you have on your battle equipment, and that you can stand firm. The interesting thing too is this is not just an individual passage, this is a community passage. He's not just talking to Chris or to John or to Sally or to Susie, he's talking to each of us and he's saying, listen, together put on your army. You don't go into battle alone, you go into battle with a legion. So may the legion of followers of Christ, may the church of Crosspoint be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and put on your full armor so that we can battle together, back to back, against the strategies of the devil. The strategies of the devil are to attack us physically, emotionally, spiritually. In those moments where you think spiritually, yeah, how many times do we set aside God's agenda for our agenda and make ourselves God of our world? So this morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you think exorcists is a really good fictional thing. Here's what I tell you. I said, it's a true story. We may not understand it and get it. There's a lot of the things of God we don't understand and we don't get. This is a part of the faith journey. And listen, and believing and understanding that God said it, it's true, I'm going to believe it even if I don't understand it. There's great promise and authority in that. So for us as followers of Christ, if you said yes to him, again, you can't be inhabited, you can be influenced, but you can't be inhabited, and you have the power of the resurrection in you to overcome anything against you. And even as we sang the song right before I came up, you're not in the fire alone. That's the beauty of Christian community, is that it is community, that we're to stand strong together and encourage each other, because there will be moments where we'll struggle and we'll need others to say, hey, I've got your back. You don't have to go back to the old ways. You're not defined by the old Chris, you're the new Chris in Christ. Let's fight together.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.